to be transformed. Let our hearts be changed, Lord God. Have mercy upon us. And as I stand here before you, Lord God, as one called by you to serve in the United Methodist Church, I pray for my church. I pray for all of the laities and the laity and clergy. All of us, whatever decisions or discussions or disagreements, Lord God, I pray for each and every one of us that we will hear from you, Lord God. We know that nothing is a surprise to you. You've got an answer, Lord God. You are the beginning and the end. You're Alpha and Omega. So, Lord God, we give over my church into your hands, the Church of Jesus Christ, a people called Methodist. God, have mercy upon us. Order our steps. Direct our path. Love us through our discussions and all of our ups and downs. Be God for us. Be God for all of us. And so speak a word this morning for all of us in every church throughout the nation and throughout the world. Speak a word especially for people called Methodists this day. Holy God, bind us together by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And let your word stand true, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Lord God, we are trusting in you and we are depending on your unchanging hands. Have mercy, Lord God, and take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so today, friends, on this Sunday, as we call the it's the Transfiguration Sunday, when the Lord would be transfigured, here we come. And he's going to be transfigured for a reason. We know that it's the beginning. We try to, through the preach moment, to teach you about the Word of God, what happens in the Word of God, what it says, and Jesus' transfiguration comes before his journey in the wilderness, and then his death and resurrection. You know, no matter what we say, the only thing that's gonna outlive us, you and me, it's gonna outlive us, is going to be the Word of God. No matter what we say, the only thing that's gonna outlive us, it's gonna outlive us. Whether we like what it says or we don't like what it says, or we want to change it, want to get rid of it, some people want to burn it, it is still going to outlive us.
Amen.
It is God's word. So I would encourage you, you know, before to know it, to read it and to know it, to read it, to be in God's word. There is hope. There are things we don't agree with in God's word, but as I said, oftentimes, God doesn't ask for agreement. God asks for us to believe or not to believe. We all have free will and choice. We can believe or not believe. I chose, and I choose to believe. And so my sermon title today is Transformation Through Relationship. Transformation, to be changed. And we should all be in the process of transformation. All of us, none of us is complete. None of us is finished. None of us is done. None of us. We're all in the process of transformation. Or we should be in the process of transformation. All of us, from the top to the bottom, are in the process of transformation. And so the writer says here in this reflection, writer Charles Swindoll once found himself with too many commitments in too few days. He got nervous and tense about it. He was snapping at his wife and children, choking down his food at meal times, and feeling irritated every time there was an unexpected interruption in his day. He recalls in his book, Stress Factors, that before long, things around their home started reflecting the pattern of his hurry-up lifestyle. He said the situation was becoming unbearable. Then it happened. After supper one evening, his younger daughter, Colleen, wanted to tell him something important that had happened to her at school that day. She began hurriedly, "Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'd like to tell you real fast." Suddenly realizing her frustration, Swindle answered, "Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly." He has never forgotten the answer. Her answer, she said, "Then listen slowly." He was never listening to her. She's talking, "Then listen slowly." How many kids are saying that? Isn't that a good story? "Daddy, then listen slowly." I can hear God's voice saying to Peter, James, and John, "This is my son. Listen to him. Slow down. Don't be so quick to move things your way, to shake the world as you see it, Peter. Don't be so quick to climb the corporate ladder, to join the Rat Pack and be number one, John. Don't try to beat your colleagues to the first position, James." You know, James wanted to be next to Jesus. "Slow down. My son is trying to show you another way, another world, another kingdom. If you will listen slowly." So today we want to listen slowly to the word of God. Because sometimes the word of God gets thrown around so much, and everybody's claiming God's word. You know, everybody's claiming we all have God, it belongs to all of us. But we need to listen slowly. Have you ever tried listening slowly? For some of us, that's hard, isn't it? Because we listen the way we talk and the way we move. Right? We have to stop to listen slowly. That's a very good psychological, or a psychiatrist could say to someone in your field, "Listen slowly." Listen to your partner, your child. Listen slowly. God wants us to listen slowly today. He wants us to hear him. In the midst of all that, certainly, this is so amazing that this text comes at this time of year. In the midst of all the schisms and the isms, God still wants us to listen slowly to the voice of God so that we too can be transformed. You know, there is a simple song which goes like this. It says, "In my life, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today." And then I would like to say, then it goes, it says, "In our lives, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified, be glorified. In our lives, be glorified today." And then the writer says, first it starts within your life. In our lives. Then it goes to in our homes. Because once we are transformed in our life, then it should impact our home. Huh? Judea should impact our home. In our homes, Lord, be glorified. Be glorified. In our homes, be glorified. And then if our homes are glorified, the Lord is glorified in our lives. That means his light is shining through. And it's shining through in our homes, then we'll bring it to our church. In our church, Lord, be glorified, the writer says. Be glorified in our church, be glorified today. And then in our world, be glorified. Be glorified, be glorified today. How do we glorify the Lord in our lives, in our homes and in our churches and in the world? How do we do that? Because really, at the end of the day, that's our responsibility. You know, many things are out of our hands, isn't it? Even I, as a Methodist pastor, many things are out of our hands. There are many things, we are a connectional church, and there are many things, even as pastors and laity, we don't have a vote. We're not congregationalists that individual churches vote. We are connectional, so there are delegates who vote. And delegates sometimes don't represent me. And delegates don't represent the next, not don't represent everybody here. But we, together as a church, can have one thing we could agree on is that we could all glorify God in our lives and in our churches and in our homes. One thing we have to be clear on, that when we get to heaven and we stand before God, you and I are only responsible for you. You are responsible for you and I'm responsible for me. There is nowhere in the Word when we stand before God, God is going to ask us, how good a Methodist were you? Or how good an Episcopalian were you? He's not going to ask us that because it's not in His Word. We are responsible when we stand before God for what we do, what we say, our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're responsible for. That's what I'm, and I as the pastor, I as one called by God right to lead right here, He's responsible to point you always to His Word, to His love for you and for me, that He would send Jesus Christ. I want folks, when they come to church and leave under my teaching, to remember and know that God loves them no matter what. That God cares no matter what. That God rules, and what God is saying is completely different from how I may feel personally. That God loves. You can't stop God from loving anybody else. You can't make God love, or you can't stop God from loving. God is love, 1 John says. God loves everybody. And we want to remind folks of that, because sometimes, and I hate when I see in the local church the average person who comes with their own aches and pains in church and want to hear a word from God for about their own life, are getting caught up in the isms and the schisms. That is not going to change their circumstance no matter what. If they can't pay their mortgage, they can't pay it no matter what the Methodist church says. It's only God is going to change it. Come on, church. If they can't buy their supermarket stuff, can't buy food, only God is going to work it through. God is. Only God can. If you can't take care of your kids, or you're broken, or you're sick, only God can heal you. No denomination can heal you. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your personal relationship. That you know Him and you could call on Him. We got to choose our battle and know what our battles are. And fight it for the one who is fighting for us. And His name is Jesus.
Amen.
You will never see me fight a battle on Facebook about nonsense. Every post I make is about Jesus. That somebody can see it and say, yes, the Lord loves me. And our bishop is telling people to get off social media. They waste their time and spending all that time. And so she sent a letter, get off social media, start writing and fighting and carrying on. It's never going to change the world.
Amen.
Only Jesus can in our lives be glorified. Be glorified, God, in our lives. Pray for each other. Find ways to love each other. How do we do today as we go through this Lenten season? Be transformed and begin to seek to love each other. To be changed by God. If God was to take us home tonight or this moment, we have to stand before Him. And so, friends, I'm reminded today that we must listen to Jesus. God did not say listen to anyone else but Jesus. Because everyone has an agenda. Be quite clear. Everybody has an agenda. This side has an agenda. This side has an agenda. I have an agenda. You have an agenda. We all have an agenda. Do you know that? Come on now. I have an agenda. My agenda is, when I stand up before you, I want you to love God. Love Jesus. Just love Him, love Him, love Him, love Him. We have an agenda, don't we? None of us is agenda free. We come with a plan. Agendas are an underlying, often ideological plan or program. It's an agenda, right? We got to do this, got to do this. So, friends. But on this Transfiguration Sunday, we want to listen to Jesus. The word transfigured is a very interesting word. It is the Greek word for metamorpho, to be changed, right? It means to be transformed, literally and figuratively, to be changed. The word is a verb that means change into another form. And it means, it also means to be changed from, to, it means to change the outside to match the inside. It means to be changed from the inside out. Do you know, and I know this is First Sunday, but I must give you a little story. It's holy. Gotta make it holy. You know, you could change the outside, and the inside isn't changed. But to be transformed means to change the inside. So you know I have my little Maddie, right? And she got a mouth. I don't know where she got it from. So you know she's in dancing. You know, she was getting a little round. And, you know, and so I said, we got to watch the weight. I'm telling her and telling her about. And so she said, so I says, Maddie, you know about Spanx? She's 9, right? I says, Maddie, do we know about Spanx? You know Spanx, that thing on TV, you know, that they talk about for you don't know. That you could, when you put it on, it puts everything in place and keep it nice and smooth. I says, Maddie, I'm going to buy you a Spanx. So that when you put on, you know, she's not really heavy. She, you know, but I said, so when you put on the Spanx, you're going to look lovely, you know, in your outfit. And she said to me, being Maddie, Grandma, if I want a Spanx, you need 2 Spanx. I'm just telling you, that's my grandbaby. What I was trying, you know her, don't you know her, Maddie? Zamzam knows her. She said, and she looks right at me. I had to go to the next room and crack up. I didn't even reprimand her. She says, Grandma, if I need 1 Spanx, you need 2 Spanx. That means if I'm changing the outside, trying to fit her in, I better get a couple. Right? Because I was going to fix her on the outside. Make her nice and straight. But I was going to do nothing on the inside. She wasn't that. I was just going to fix her. See? Listen now. So my little grandbaby made me cracked up. I said, ain't she right? I should leave her alone. And she told me. And her mother said, she told you that. I says, leave her alone. She's telling the truth. So the point is, we need to be changed from the inside. Because putting on the Spanx would only what? Tuck it all in on the outside. But inside would still need some work, wouldn't it? Right? So today we're not talking about putting on a Spanx from the outside. And I confess to you that my grandbaby tell me these things. You know, I confess everything to you all. We need to be changed on the inside. In the case of the transfiguration of Jesus, it means to match the outside with the reality of the inside. To change the outward so that it matches the inward reality. So the work on the inside is hard, isn't it? Because isn't it easier for me to put something on and tuck things in as opposed to probably eating the right thing and not eating what is wrong? Isn't that harder than to tuck it in, isn't it? Come on now, church. I know you're all a size 2 or something, but come on now. Isn't it much easier, right? And to change the outside, to fix it up. People sometimes say to me, you look so good in your clothes. And I smile. I says, well, praise be the Lord. Because one doesn't want to look the same way without the clothes as you look with the clothes. Let's be smart, right? Thanks be. As we get older, we realize, friends, it's Transfiguration Sunday. I'm trying to teach you something modern about change. Come on now. You know me well, and poor Zamzam is rolling her head, but it's true. We need to work on being changed on the inside. Because it's so easy to talk and put together, isn't it? Poor Daphne is going to pray for me. Pray for me, Daphne. I see Daphne bound. She's praying for me right now. It's so easy to tuck and put things together and not do the hard work. We're reminded from this scripture. You see Peter and James, they were looking at Jesus being transfigured. And they just wanted to build a couple of buildings. Because they just wanted to do something. Right? They were getting the point that this was a glorious moment that was going to change their inside. They just wanted to build two statues, right? So that there could be a two monument there instead of doing the hard work. Doing the hard work in Christ. We must be changed again from the inside out. Second point, real transformation is a process, not a destination. Clear that? It's a process. Now, I'll use another analogy about food. You see what my weakness is, isn't it? You know, if you ever be on a diet and you lose weight, you're dying to get to that point. And when you get to the point, you're done. And once you're done, guess what? 2 months later, you're 10 pounds heavy again. Because you treated it like a destination. And they say to you, these wonderful diet people try to drive you crazy. Oh, it's a lifelong process. Oh, you got to take this for the rest of your life. And he says, don't I know? Right? It's a process. Don't I know that this thing goes on and on? It's the same thing with our spiritual growth. It's a process, friends, right? You can't just be done with God. Well, I read the Bible today. I read once, I've been reading it for 3 weeks and now I'm finished. Right? It is a process. Come on, friends. I've been thinking about this yesterday. You can see that my brain is... I can't tell you all the stories I have. Because some of them I have to tell you in private. They're a little bit over the top. But anyway, so real transformation is a process, not a destination. It's the Holy Spirit that works in me. I've got a different Holy Spirit than you are. Because the Holy Spirit always said to me, go forth. Say this. And I says, I didn't mean to say this before I stand up here, Lord. All right, now... So here it is. Nobody ever gets to a place of being everything God has called them to be on this side of eternity. Our life is one of growth. Growth, friends. We are growing each day in the Lord. John Wesley would famously say, it's what? We are going on to perfection. Going on to perfection. And he says, nobody may reach perfection here. But the whole idea is to what? Work towards perfection, transformation, work toward change, changing in Jesus Christ. Isn't that the truth? To be changed. The transformation we encounter because of the gospel is how God is shaping our lives to mirror Jesus. God is always changing our life to mirror Jesus, you and me. All of that who believe in him, to mirror him, to look like Jesus, to let his light shine to us. Not the physical image of Jesus, but the things that Jesus espouses and tells us to do, to let our light. So God is always doing that in us and in our church. We're not there yet. We're an imperfect church. Who knows what's going to happen 10, 20 years from now? Who knows in the Methodist Church? God is in the process and God will use ways to do things that we don't even understand. Till we get to it, we says, is that what's going to happen 10 years ago? We didn't even know. Because that's how God is. In the process of changing us continuously. Paul wrote to some of the early Christians, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Friends, God has begun a good work in you and in me. And he's going to carry it on till the day of completion. He's not going to give up on any of us, on anybody, on any side of any discussion. God has begun a good work in us and he's going to bring it forth. And the process may not be easy. It may not be perfect. I know we want to dance into the sunlight and it's finished. No, but that process is continuous. But he's going to bring it to completion in Christ Jesus our Lord. He will. Transformation, you see. The next point, real change happens at the moment of our salvation. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, Lord and Savior, transformation begins. Because we have made the first step. We've said, yes, Lord, I'll serve you. Yes, Lord, I'll follow you. Yes, Lord, I'll do your will. In your own way, you say it. Not exactly the way I'm saying it. And the transformation begins. And my friends, during transformation, there is what? abundance of grace. Friends, abundance of grace. John Wesley would say prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. All of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and has been living for Him, we are under sanctification. That means we're living day by God's grace. Some days we fall short and then we get up and we give, but we are under sanctification. Sanctifying grace of God. God knows what we face and the issues we face and the ups and downs and the weaknesses. It continues and it begins. And so, it is a day by day. God wants us to grow day by day in our knowledge and connection with Him. Transformation. He wants us to go day by day. And during Lent, we have an opportunity to grow day by day with Christ. To remember all the good things He has done. To be transformed. Scripture says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. This is what the Lord means. To be renewed through the Word. To be renewed through the Word of God. It is our sacred book. If we're of another religion, there are other religions that, if you're a Muslim, and Zamzam could correct me if I'm wrong, the Quran is never torn apart or critiqued. Maybe in universities, I think, but never, never. Whatever the Quran says, my sister tell me.
Cannot critique, Pastor.
You cannot critique the Quran. If it says, jump to a building, it's jump to a building.
If you do that, your penalty is death.
So it's never, but we have got a word that is up for critique. Thanks be to God, and it has stand the test of times. Right? And we may not, but it's the word of God. And it's unchanging. And yes, the circumstance, that's where John Wesley talks about tradition, reason. Tradition, reason, experience, and the word. He says there are four parts to our faith. It's called the quadrilateral. There is scripture, it's paramount, he says. It's key. It stands above. It's like a stool, a three-legged stool. Scripture stands on it, and then there's reason, tradition, and experience. That we all come to the Bible with these things, but at the end of the day, it is scripture. He says he's a man of one book, uno libro, man of one book. Everything else informs, because I have a different experience, you know, from my social location and my relationship with God as somebody else, right? But the book of God still stands, the word of God. And we as Christians, we have the privilege and the right that we could debate it and critique it. If we were from another religion, we couldn't. God gives us that freedom to disagree and agree and come back and say, amen, I don't know, but I'm going to follow it anyway. One of the young people said to me, oh, we follow the word of God by faith. Not because we fully understand everything it says, but by faith. Transformation through the word will help us. And lastly, Paul says to the Corinthian church, we all with unveiled faces are reflecting the glory of the Lord and are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. Remember what he said in Corinthians, they have the veils on their face. But when we have accepted Christ, that veil has been lifted up, friends. We no longer have the veil on our face. Huh? Because we have accepted Christ. So now we could see His glory. And we could read about Him. We are no longer covered with the veil. He says, up to this day, those who follow Moses, they still read the word, the Torah, with the veil. But for us who are believers, we don't read it with the veil. We read it because the veil has been lifted up by our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Thanks be to God for that. The veil has been lifted up. We could talk about it. We could agree on it. We could disagree. We have friends on either side and we have discussions and we agree. And when we get done, we says, I love you with the love of Jesus, and we go forth.
Amen.
The veil has been lifted because of Jesus Christ, friends. Thanks be to God for that. We're reminded. And so, my friends, today, On this Transfiguration Sunday, I pray that you will be transformed, because change is letting go and grabbing hold. Change is letting go of stuff that is blocking and grabbing hold of Jesus Christ. You let go of things of the world and you begin to grab hold of Jesus. That's transformation. Let us begin to grab hold again of Jesus and of his promises for us, of his love for us. And do you know what is beautiful about this? I told somebody in the midst of all the schisms. I said, you know what I love about God and Jesus? We could carry on and scream. Guess what? God loves all of us. God loves all of us. God loves us across all kinds of stuff. God is love. And because God is love, we will survive. We will go through and we will run this race until the end, until Christ returns. So just turn to your brother or sister and says, God loves you and so do I. Could you do that for me?
God loves you.
God loves you and so do I. So do I. God loves you and so do I. God loves you and so do I. Praise God. Amen.